You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Crispy Compact Communique. A Christmas episode, if you will, because this is coming out right before all the Christmas festivities. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Festivus, Merry Chrysler, every holiday. I hope you guys are having fun. You're enjoying yourselves this week. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I am Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we are still here, whether or not it's Christmas or 2020 or snow or whatever. We are still here to give you some interesting bits in sports, entertainment, and odd news. Basic show, but you know what? Sometimes these are the ones that provide the most entertainment because we got some just kind of hitting the big headlines. A quick little discussion, funny odd news, bam, bam, bam. That's how we're going to attack this one. Merry Christmas, everyone. But before we get into all that, Mike.
Very aggressive. Yes.
Mike, how are you doing? You better be having a good Christmas.
I'm having a great Christmas so far. I'll tell you this. I'm happy because I think I have... What?
Sorry, I did. I just rolled right off the. I was
bam, bam, bam.
You better be having a Merry Christmas.
But
I'm gonna come there. I'm gonna give you a Merry Christmas.
All right, if you're not having a merry time,
yeah,
actually merry. But no, it's been going good so far. I'd like to report that I got, I think all my Christmas shopping done, and it's like 99% wrapped, which is like atypical. I mean, usually normal years, I'm running out Christmas Eve and I'm picking up a last minute thing. So, you know, I think I'm done. You know, it was one of the benefits of ordering everything online and getting ahead of the curve and anticipating that it was going to be crazy near the end here. So I was like, I'm going to do it as early as possible, you know, not leave anything until the end. And now I can just kick back, relax. I'm taking some time off of work. You know, I'm getting ready to have some good meals.
Yep.
Lots of sweets and treats. I'm ready to dive into it, man. How about you? How's your start of the holiday season going?
I still have a couple more Christmas presents I need to shop for, so I'm not quite there. But I am in the same boat with you. I have a nice little vacation planned, staycation, if you will, with coronavirus and everything. But still, it's good to have some time to just relax and enjoy the holiday season. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And we got the end of football coming up. We got the beginning of basketball. We got just a lot of random things that, you know, to close out the year 2020. We're still hanging in there. We're still standing tall. So I'm happy that we're all, you know, whether or not this is the show we wanted to do. For all of 2020, we're still hanging in there. We're still giving you a quality show, a quality podcast every week. Thank you guys for tuning in to the whole shebang this whole year. But without further ado, I think it's only fitting that we get into the news topics at hand this week.
Yep.
And this first one broke my heart. I couldn't believe this happened.
I know. You must be so sad now to see the end of Futility Watch, Rich.
Yeah, Futility.
What happened?
Futility Watch 2020 is officially over. As for some godforsaken reason, the Jets pulled off a win against the LA Rams 23-20. Why? just why? Why? Why?
I mean, the Jets did the most Jets thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like all the Jets have to do is lose, and like, well, let's win now. And they beat the Rams. It's not like they beat another bad team. Like the Rams are, I know they're not fantastic this year, but they're still They're a playoff team. They're a very good team, and the Jets just up and beat them. It's not the Rams. Is this going to spark a whole little slip and slide for the Rams now all of a sudden? I don't know, but the Jets did the worst possible thing. Why would you win at the 11th hour?
Yeah.
You got three games left. You need to secure the number one overall spot in the draft.
And guess what? The draft order is the reverse order of how you finish. So guess what? The Jets have a harder schedule than the Jacksonville Jaguars. So what does that mean in terms of the draft? That means the Jaguars actually have the tiebreaker over the Jets. So as of right now, the Jaguars are in the driver's seat. They could get the number one overall draft pick if they lose out. So the Jets willingly just threw away the number one draft pick to win a meaningless game.
You know, I get it. In football, you know, tanking isn't as effective because you have 53 players on a roster. You have effectively 22 starters. It's not as easy as in basketball where you get one piece and it's 20% of your starting lineup, you know? And I always hear like, oh, every football team wants to be competitive all the time, but let's be real here. What are you really playing for with three games left?
Yeah.
You know, this is the same thing I saw Jason Kelce recently with the Eagles. He's like, people saying that we should just tank, you know, should knock it off. But like, why? Like, what are you playing for? For pride? Who cares?
Yeah.
Play better, you know? So I love Jason Kelce. I don't know. That just dawned on me. Like, everyone's always like, oh, don't tank, don't tank, don't tank. But like, at the end of the day, you're not helping anybody by winning these games. All you're doing is you're helping your coach or your GM keep their job, you know?
Yeah, and why do you want Adam Gase to keep his job?
Right, exactly. And, you know, some people make an argument, oh, like, what if you end the season on a high note? Then you go into next season and you're – no, not if you're the Jets, not if you're that bad.
Yeah, that only works for the Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins are atypical. They're the exception to the rule. But, yeah, the Jets – no, they messed up.
Yeah, they really did.
They should have gotten the number one overall spot.
They really did.
It's not a guarantee that it's going to be a good player, but I mean, it's you have your pick of anybody, you know?
Yep. Well, now I guess with that, the Jets aren't going to get Trevor Lawrence. I don't know what the Jets do if they fall to the number two overall draft pick. They might as well trade down because they need help. If they're gonna go the route where they're going to try and fill in the holes that they need in that team, they have so many damn holes and so many damn openings that they would probably be better off with a plethora of draft picks and trade away that number two overall draft pick.
Yeah.
They need just pure amount of draft picks then at that point.
Right. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they'll trade down to the Eagles spot.
No, I don't think they'll do that. No. The Eagles already found their quarterback.
Oh, God. Well, since we're already talking about it, let's go ahead and, or unless, did you want to say anything else about the Jets?
No, that's fine. That's a perfect transition.
We can transition straight into this. The Eagles did, in fact, lose once again, this time losing a tough one to the Cardinals, 33-26. But you mentioned the quarterback controversy brewing in Philly, and it is in full swing because Jalen Hurts started a second game. He came within a touchdown of upsetting the Cardinals, and he's already been announced as the starter for the game against Dallas, one of the most hotly anticipated games, you know, on the Eagles' schedule, and Jalen Hurts gets the nod. And now there's reports coming out that Wentz might want out of Philadelphia if he's going to be a backup, you know? And, you know, then there were other reports that his agent is saying, oh, no, he loves the team. He wants to stay with the team, yada, yada, yada. It's, you already see the makings of a catastrophic end of the season and off season in 2021. Rich, thoughts, reactions? Do you want to start with the game? Do you want to just dive right into the quarterback controversy?
Well, here's the thing that I've got to give Jalen Hurts credit for. The last two games, there's been, you know, a couple of mistakes, but for the most part, Jalen Hurts has been performing as well as you would expect a rookie quarterback to start. I mean, he's made a couple of mistakes here and there, but for the most part, he's been consistent.
Yeah, but you know what? He's a rookie quarterback in a pandemic season, playing on a less than stellar team. So,
but the point is, Wentz was on the same team, and he was doing far worse.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Wentz was getting to the point where you were just frustrated to watch him play. You just couldn't believe some of the decisions he was making. At least Jalen Hurts is making decent decisions. The game against the Saints, he was making smart decisions. He didn't need to chuck the ball down the field. You know, he was making the smart calls.
Yeah. He hasn't been overly flashy, but he's also not actively hindering the team. And that's the difference here. And I'm not crowning Hurts the franchise quarterback, and I'm not calling for them to trade Wentz yet. But here's the thing. Wentz was getting to the point where he was actively hindering the team, because it's the same receivers that we're complaining about not being able to get open. It's the same coaching that we complain are calling stale game plans. It's the same injuries. It's the same pandemic season. It's the same tough schedule. And Hurts is, you know, he had that upset against the Saints, and he played admirably. You know, he was slinging it, you know, shot for shot with Kyler Murray, who has DeAndre Hopkins on his team. So what's the difference here? What's the difference between these two Eagles teams this season? The one major piece that changed so far is the quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there's an argument to be made. He's a rookie. Opposing teams don't have tape on him. You know, yada, yada, yada. He's a dual threat where Wentz really wasn't one. Once they crack him, they'll be able to stop him. You know, I don't know. What I do know is that this makes this offseason so much more complicated, because if the Eagles are going to move on from Wentz, it behooves them to do so immediately. I'm just going to say it, right? If they manage to trade him, the sunk cost is, I think it's $23-25 million. If they cut him after March, it's going to be $50-60 million in dead cap space. So if they don't move on from him by mid-March, then he's going to be the quarterback next year. And then after that, it becomes increasingly difficult to move on from Wentz the longer this situation brews, because Hurts is going to be over his shoulder, causing a rift in the locker room, not intentionally so. But you see players like Alshon Jeffrey. We know Alshon Jeffrey doesn't like Wentz. Let's not mince words. Let's not pretend.
I totally forgot Alshon Jeffrey was on this team.
Alshon Jeffrey with Wentz throwing to him is like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah.
Hurts was out there. He's making diving catches. All of a sudden, he's like back, like not in the top tier form, but like he's competent.
Yeah.
It's no secret that Alshon Jeffrey does not like Wentz. So what happens when Wentz becomes starter again, you know, and Hurts is sitting in, you know, as a backup? You know, or do you give Hurts the chance to unseat Wentz, and then Wentz is all sour as the backup next year? It's such a messy situation. I can't see a situation which they both stay here.
No.
If the Eagles really want to be a quarterback factory before March, they have to move one of them. Otherwise, Howie looks like an idiot.
Well, here's the thing. I think
you can't keep both of them. You cannot keep both of them, Rich. It doesn't make sense.
So you may have to keep Wentz another year, because his out clause is 2022. So you may have to keep Wentz for 2021. But after that, yeah, at that point, it could be best to let everyone go their separate ways. Unless there is a willing trade partner that comes through and decides to make a trade with the Eagles, which, you know, there are a couple teams out there, I think, that would be willing to roll the dice and go for the gamble.
Indy, Patriots, two of them that I've heard mentioned.
I think Patriots. I've just got a gut feeling that Bill Belichick could. This sounds like something he could do, and he could probably make the Eagles eat some of eat a good chunk of that contract if he does. If he does, he's going to get a quarterback on the cheap, somebody with a potentially very high ceiling. They need a quarterback, because obviously Cam Newton's not the answer in New England. I don't know. That one sounds very, very possible in my opinion. But yeah, everyone else is saying Colts, Colts, Colts. We'll see. We'll see how the offseason unfolds.
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking at some of the numbers here. If he's traded, the Eagles incur a cap hit of now I can't find it, but it's not that bad, and it wouldn't be that bad for the team trading for him
before
as well.
March.
Like Yeah, before March. That's the thing. He's a very tantalizing trade chip before March, because they could get a quarterback, essentially a starting quarterback, at like 20-some mil, which is, that's a good deal right there.
Well, that's also, you know, if you get the right scheme and the right coaching, the ceiling would be really high on him.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the NFL stands for not for long, but 2017, he was having a fantastic year.
Yeah. And that's the thing. At the end of the day, you know, sometimes with players, it's a change of scenery is all you need, because I still believe I was a big Wentz supporter. I still am a big Wentz supporter, because 2017 is not an accident. And in 2018, he was still good. 2019 and 2020, he's really regressed. But that ceiling, that talent, that ability is still there. I think it's just a combination of factors. I think at the current time, this is not a good situation for him. The Eagles are not the right fit, and he's not the right fit for the Eagles. If I've heard increasingly in the past few years that he's difficult to work with. Mm-hmm. He was the reason why they inserted the quarterbacks coach that they do, because they were friends. You know, you heard the rumor a few years ago, he doesn't want to run quote unquote Foles' stuff when the Eagles were struggling. You hear all those reports from the locker room, those Alshonimus sources. But where there's smoke, there's fire. Right. And now I'm starting to wonder, like, I don't know, man, is it too complicated to keep him around?
It may be, but we shall see how that all unfolds. Something else we actually have to get into before we get into Fantastic Four picks is the fact the Eagles are actually still alive in this weird division.
And I hate this season so much.
And guess what? With a division game on deck for Week 16, what do you do if the Eagles... let's say Jalen Hurts pulls off a win against the Cowboys. Are we actually going to root for this team to try and win the division?
Man, I mean, they might stumble backwards into the playoffs through sheer dumb luck. We might not have a choice. But if Hurts can beat the Cowboys and take this team to the playoffs, man, that does not look good.
Yeah.
Not only does Wentz have to walk into the link past a statue, a 12-foot statue of a backup quarterback who won the Super Bowl instead of him, then he's supplanted by another backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care who you are. And I know they say professional football players, you have to have thick skin, but that does something. The injuries plus this constant narrative of these backups coming in and playing hero, plus just playing terribly, these three things all together –
It's gonna warp anybody's psyche.
Yeah, it's got. That's what I mean. I don't think the Eagles right now are the best place for Wentz. I really don't think so. But to your point about cheering for them in the playoffs, God no. Why would I want them to make the playoffs?
Well,
why would you want to stumble ass backwards to the playoffs?
It could happen.
You have a chance to get, you know, anywhere from the 5th spot in the draft to the 13th spot in the draft. If you make the playoffs, all of a sudden you're drafting, you know, at least in the mid-20s.
Yep.
You know, that's...
Well, unfortunately, this is a reality we got to deal with, because not only is everything with the Eagles going on, but I have to mention this story. This is ridiculous. So Alex Smith got hurt yet again with the Washington football team. So here you go. Dwayne Haskins, this is your chance. Maybe you can lead the Washington football team to a playoff run. Prove your worth to Ron Rivera, because apparently Ron Rivera doesn't like him. I hate to say this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he outright benched him. He's demoted him multiple times down to third string, where he's not even getting suited up during the games.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously Ron Rivera does not think this guy's a good quarterback.
Right.
But now with the Alex Smith getting hurt yet again, Dwayne Haskins has the chance to prove his worth. And what does he do? This story breaks where he got caught with photos in a strip club without wearing his mask to protect himself from coronavirus. This is an outright violation of the NFL COVID protocol. There's probably going to be a suspension coming down. There's no way he gets out of this clean. So now you got.
I hate 2020 so much.
So now you got turmoil with the Washington team that was supposed to win the division because they were on a hot streak, but now they lost a game, and now they have this story flag in their franchise. The Giants don't. For some odd reason, they're doing worse with Daniel Jones. Like, it's just everybody is tipsy-topsy backwards, and yeah, this is 2020 NFC East.
I will say this about the NFC East. We are the worst division, but at least we are a competitive division. Any team can make the playoffs. That's exciting, Rich. That's fun times in the NFC East.
Barely.
If we win out, I think we make the playoffs, right? Well, if the Giants, I don't even know.
Yeah.
What are the players? If we win out and the Giants lose one, then we make it in, yeah?
Something to that tune. And then we have a tie, too. That throws everything crazy, too. Like, it's literally just the perfect soup of just nonsense. It's unbelievable it's gotten this far.
Oh, my God. It's just a disaster.
Yeah. So, speaking of trying to predict the future, I think that's a good transition into Fantastic Four picks. Week number 16. We're coming to the home stretch. This is the last... For most teams, this is kind of the last competitive game that most teams are going to face. So what do we got for Fantastic Four picks?
All right. Well, first up, we have an AFC playoff preview. We have the Indianapolis Colts traveling to Pittsburgh to face off against the Steelers. It's a Sunday 1 o'clock game. Rich, the Steelers are slipping and sliding. What is going on in Pittsburgh? Do they right the ship, or do the Colts take advantage here?
No, I do not like the way this Steelers team is playing.
They can't run the ball.
They can't run the ball.
And Ben Roethlisberger is playing like his age.
Yeah. So. I mean, unfortunately, this is a case where I think the Steelers peaked at the wrong time. They were so outright and dominant the first half of this season. And then coming into the stretch of the second half, they had to deal with three games in 12 days. They had the BS with the Ravens and the coronavirus. That messed up their schedule. And now James Conner is just perpetually hurt. He has this nagging quad injury that they don't know whether or not game time decision. They don't know whether or not he's playing or not. Do we practice Snell with first reps? They keep going back and forth with this. So they're relying on Big Ben. Big Ben is old, you know, as much as he's trying to put together a playoff run, he's getting to the end of his career. So I don't know. I think this is just another just storm that's perfectly come together for the Steelers at the wrong time for him. Colts, on the other hand, they're fighting for a playoff spot. Phillip Rivers, I got to give him props. He's been pretty much leading this team. He's made a couple of mistakes here and there, but not so much that it ruins their chances of winning games, and that's what you got to do. I think this is Colts.
Yeah, you like to believe that the Steelers could snap their losing streak here at home, but it's the Colts are a tough opponent, right? And, you know, the Colts have been winning games. The Steelers have lost three in a row, and it's just not looking good. Like, whatever was working earlier in the season, it's come to a screeching halt. So yeah, they have a decent defense, but I think the Colts come in here and they feel energized, and they're going to try and take advantage of this reeling Pittsburgh Steelers football team. I think the Colts can narrowly beat the Steelers. Yep. And make a really big statement game here, because this, you know, affects seeding in the AFC. It makes them on equal footing. And then all of a sudden, Steelers go from the best spot in the AFC to all of a sudden, you know, they're looking like they're slipping, sliding all the way down to the wild card rounds.
Yeah, exactly. Steelers lose this game. Week 17 is Pittsburgh versus Cleveland.
Yeah.
That could be a division game to determine the division. Would that be something?
That would be something. You know what? Spoiler, I think I'm going to take the Browns in that one next week. But anyway, until then, we have an NFC playoff preview. We have the LA Rams traveling to Seattle to face off against their rivals. It's a Sunday 4:25 game. Rich, who do you like in this one? The Rams just lost a shocker to the Jets. Can they course correct against the Seahawks?
You ready for my answer on this one?
Go ahead.
In Sean McVay, I'm going to trust. I think the Rams just got guilty of looking ahead because this is their big matchup. This is a huge division game. This is their chance to climb not only in their overall rankings but in their division rankings, because we don't know which team's going to end up on top on the NFC West division. They're all, other than the 49ers, those three teams, Cardinals, Rams, and Seahawks, they're probably going to make the playoffs. It's just a matter of who's going to fall in which spot and who's going to land the division. So this is the huge game. I'm going to chalk up last week that the Rams were just caught guilty of looking ahead. They probably thought they were going to get an easy game against the Jets, and unfortunately, they got the surprise of a lifetime that the Jets.
It was a trap game.
Yeah, exactly. It was a trap game. They did not realize it was going to be. They thought they could just kind of autopilot their way from that Jets game and go to the Seahawks game. So with that in mind, I'm going to say this was where their focus was this past week. And with that, I think they take advantage of a very weak Seattle defense. Russell Wilson can do a lot of damage, but I don't know if it's enough to counter, to counter both a decent defense and a decent offense that the Rams provide. I like the Rams here in a rebound spot.
Hmm. I disagree.
That's fair.
It's because, well, one, the Seahawks at home. I know they don't have the crowd there, but still, they're going to be sitting comfy at home. The Rams won the first meeting, so it's really hard for a team to beat their division rival twice in 1 year, especially two as closely matched as this. And I know you say in Sean McVay, I trust, he's looking ahead to the Seahawks. But the problem with trap games is it could give you a swift kick in the butt to get back on track, or it could derail things a little bit. And the Rams this season have not been that – I mean, they've been good. They're a playoff team. But they've not been as consistent as they have been in past years. The Seahawks are the same. The Seahawks are statistically a little bit better than the Rams in terms of the win-loss column. So I'm going to go with the safe choice here. I'm going to go with – I think the logical choice here, give the slight edge to the home team who lost the last meeting. You figure they're going to correct things this time for the second meeting. I'm going with the Seahawks at home. Okay. But I think it's going to be a very close game. These are two teams that are bitter rivals fighting desperately for that division, that top spot in that division. So I think it's going to be a very good game. I'm surprised it didn't get flexed.
Yeah.
Next up, we have a potential question mark. Probably not, but still, it's intriguing. Super Bowl preview. We have one of the big teams, the AFC, the Tennessee Titans, facing off against one of the top teams in the NFC in the Green Bay Packers. It is a Sunday primetime game. Rich, who do you like in this matchup? These are two teams that could go deep into the playoffs in their respective conferences.
They could, but this is another one. In Aaron Rodgers in December, I trust. I mean,
yeah.
The Green Bay Packers are a team that is built to win in December. Look, Aaron Rodgers
is an easy pick, right?
Aaron Rodgers has just—he's shown his worth in December. I think the stat I sent to you, Mike, he only lost two games in December the last three or four seasons. I mean, it is very rare to see Aaron Rodgers lose in December. He's clutch. Yeah. This is when he shines. Tennessee, although you love Derrick Henry and just his sheer determination to be the best running back in the league, sometimes they falter. Sometimes that defense plays soft. So between these two teams, I think the edge is with Green Bay.
Yeah, the Titans definitely have the ground attack, but Green Bay, I mean, just I know statistics don't tell the whole story, but they're top 10 in every category. Offense, defense, passing, rushing. I mean, they're an incredibly well-balanced team. And like you said, Aaron Rodgers in December in Lambeau. I mean, that's like legendary right there, at least during the regular season. Playoffs is another story for Aaron Rodgers. But I think this season, you know, they drafted the quarterback behind him, and it woke him up. He's playing out of his mind this season, unlike certain other quarterbacks. So I'm going to go, again, I think easy pick here. I'm going to go with the Packers over the Titans. finally,
do we have to talk about this game?
Speaking of those other quarterbacks, we have, yes, we do. Unfortunately, we have our very own hometown Philadelphia Eagles traveling to Dallas to face off against the dreaded Dallas Cowboys in a heated division rivalry game. Rich, is this going to be the game that sparks a playoff run for the Philadelphia Eagles? Will they make the playoffs at 6-9-1?
You know what's sad? The last time I checked my sports bookies, the Eagles were actually the favorite in this game. I'm going to triple check right now, and oh my God, they still are, and the spread grew. So, wow. People are getting confident in the Eagles. I mean, it's just the bottom of the barrel here. But you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe the Eagles pull this out and they start to do a backward slip into winning the division. I don't know.
Oh, man. I would be so disappointed.
Is there a way we can have both of these teams lose?
Make a tie.
Oh, God, another tie. Just for you, Mike, they tie.
No, they better not.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess just if you put a gun to my head, yeah, I'm going to go Eagles.
What do you do when two teams are so equally matched but so terrible?
Yeah.
It's really a coin flip at this point. You know, you can look at the Cowboys. You can say, oh, you know, they have all those amazing offensive weapons. But for all those offensive weapons, they haven't done much. You know, and God.
Yeah, another thing, it's weird that, I don't know if you picked up on this from last week, CeeDee Lamb scored a touchdown on an onside kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, how does that happen?
It's almost like we have opposite problems here. The Eagles have, like, no talent, and the Cowboys have all the talent, but just don't know how to use it correctly. This really is a coin flip. God, the Eagles are probably going to win this game.
Yeah.
My gut is saying the Eagles are going to win this game. They're feeling revitalized now under Jalen Hurts. Alshon Jeffrey is going to go out there and have a career game probably now that a backup quarterback is throwing to him.
That guy?
Yeah, remember that guy? This just feels like something the Eagles would do. They just show up at the 11th hour with – you know, all they have to do is just whimper into the off season. Instead, they're gonna claw, fight tooth and nail to stay relevant. And what's gonna happen is Peterson's gonna save his job, and Howie's gonna save his job, and they're gonna sneak into the playoffs and have a first round exit. But it's like, we made the playoffs, so the ticket prices go up. Everybody keeps their job.
Yep, the fun Eagles carousel keeps going and going and going.
Yeah. It sounds so weird that I kind of almost want them to lose to spark that change, but sometimes you need that change, right? You know what I mean? Remember Andy Reid, right? Near the end of his tenure, you needed to have a catastrophic season to get Andy Reid out.
Yep.
You know, and not to say that Andy Reid wasn't an amazing coach, but his time here had come to an end. And we had the Chip Kelly era. He revitalized us a little bit, but you had to get rid of him to make way for Doug Peterson to eventually get that Super Bowl. You know, every once in a while you need fresh minds, you need fresh starts, you need something to change things up. And we've had too much of the same for too long now, the past couple of seasons, which means the Eagles are definitely going to win.
There you go. Fantastic.
That's the Eagles' MO.
All right. So there you go. That's our fantastic four picks for week number 16. It is sad, though. We are coming to the end of the NFL season.
Yeah, it's been a very weird, strange season.
Yes, it has.
Let's look past football, Rich. Let's get into some jolly topics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get to some happy times.
Yeah. So our entertainment topics are all about Christmas. We're going to talk about Christmas movies. We're going to talk about our favorite Christmas movies, what qualifies as a Christmas movie. And then we're going to talk about a new trend that I've been enjoying this season in indulging in some bad Christmas movies. So where do you want to start with this one, Rich? What's your go-to?
Okay.
Christmas?
Well, first off, I don't know.
Start with what qualifies as a Christmas movie first, because it seems like that's what you're itching to get to.
Right. So first off, there's something I want to mention here. We talked about this on last week's show towards the end, that I proclaim, as well as a lot of people online proclaim, that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I think at this point people need to accept it as fact, because I think now you're in the minority if you don't think it's a Christmas movie. All right, just it fits all the things you want in a Christmas movie. The plot revolves around Christmas Day in LA. Mm-hmm. There's multiple Christmas lines, including "Ho ho ho, I have a machine gun."
A classic Christmas line.
John McClane learns in Die Hard to not take for granted his family. There's an actual Christmas morale to the story to learn.
Every other Christmas movie features somebody coming back into town for the holidays. I mean, it fits the trope, right?
Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, I think most people are in agreement. Die Hard counts as a Christmas movie. I'm sorry. If you want to disagree with me on that, leave me a Twitter and we'll get into a Twitter war over it.
Oh, boy.
But right now, I think actually you're in the minority if you think Die Hard doesn't count as a Christmas movie. Yeah. And, of course, as usual, you know, just to make sure everyone realizes that it's actually a Christmas book that you can read to your kids. So there you go. Get them introduced.
I swear to God, you must read that book every night.
That's how I go to sleep.
Yeah?
Yes, read me this book and I will go to sleep. So, yeah, that's definitely a Christmas movie as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
But, you know, I wanted to expand my horizons and come up with some other interesting Christmas movies that you may not think is a Christmas movie that I would just like to float out there.
Okay.
You know, all right. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to see what sticks, what doesn't.
Okay.
Because, actually, you know what? I'll lead off with this one first. The Angry Video Game Nerd actually did a video about this. And a movie that he thinks has an even more valid claim to being a Christmas movie than Die Hard is Batman Returns. Have you seen Batman Returns recently?
Batman Returns. Is that the one with Mr. Freeze?
No, that's Batman and Robin. No, Batman Returns is...
Then I have not seen Batman Returns.
Why is that the one you remember seeing most recently? That's the worst.
Freeze? Yeah, I know it's the worst.
Anyway, why is that the one? God, this is like when I asked Rachel, what Star Wars movie did you see? And she says, oh, the very first one I saw was Phantom Menace. And I'm like, oh, God, no wonder why you don't like Star Wars.
So before...
Let me go back. All right, so Batman Returns is the one with the Penguin, Danny DeVito as the Penguin. The whole movie... takes place around Christmas. So there is a lot of references to Christmas lights, Christmas trees. Matter of fact, one of the Penguin's diabolical attacks happen at the town Christmas tree lighting ceremony. There's lots of snow. A blizzard hits Gotham City, so there's a snow element.
Okay, but hold on. I have questions here already. I'm gonna dive into this because I'm interested now in this topic. So just snow and it being Christmas time is not enough to make it a Christmas movie.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, you're going to get there. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So the plot revolves around the Penguin trying to ultimately steal all of the firstborn sons away from Gotham City because he never was loved. He was never loved from his original family because of his deformities.
This sounds more like a Passover movie than a Christmas movie.
Well, it has tones in this.
I think your holidays mixed up, Rich.
There's a lot of religious symbolism in this movie.
Okay, sure.
So you have that aspect. Yeah, it is. It is like, yeah, it is a little bit Passover-y. Yeah, that's funny. So there's that aspect. There's the aspect of when Catwoman is introduced and she flirts with Bruce Wayne as Selina Kyle, and then as and flirts with Batman as Catwoman. She constantly uses Christmas puns, and it's the Christmas puns that give her away to Batman.
Okay.
There's the fact that Christopher Walken plays a super evil capitalist, like an Ebenezer Scrooge character.
Okay.
Who's trying to figure out whether or not to do good, but at the same time he wants to benefit to his own gains. There's a lot, and the movie also begins and ends with Alfred telling Batman Merry Christmas. It's like the button to
bookended.
Yeah. So I think that's also a very interesting case that the Angry Video Game Nerd made. The full video available is on YouTube if you want to get into the nitty gritty details.
I might have to check that out. So it's interesting. So it's not just, I think this is key here. And I think after hearing the full explanation, I see what you're getting at here. So there's two veins of thinking here. One is that, you know, that the holiday has to be integral to the plot and the narrative, right?
Yeah.
I don't see that so much, but what I do see that you pointed out accurately is the themes, right, resonate with mm-hmm. those holiday hallmarks. Okay, so maybe the holiday could be swapped out for any holiday, Passover, say.
but
the themes still have those same holiday undertones. You know, the like you mentioned the Scrooge analog, and you mentioned the what else did you mention? There were a few other ones in there that you mentioned. I sort of get that. So
yeah, the Christmas puns and stuff that give away Selina Kyle.
It's more interwoven than just it being set during the holiday season.
Correct. Yeah.
So I sort of see it. I'll give you it's a semi Christmas movie. It's like holiday-esque.
I think that's one of those. I think if you
it's a gray area.
I think if you rewatch Batman Returns, I think you're going to be on the side that this is pretty Christmassy. Okay. There's a lot in a dark, twisted way because it is Tim Burton directing that film, but there is a lot of Christmas things to it, if you will.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
All right. And then the other one that I'm going to bring up, and this is personally one of my favorite movies, and I have it referenced with my virtual background here on Zoom, is the Stanley Kubrick classic, Christmas classic, if you will, Eyes Wide Shut.
Rich, why?
I don't care what you say. Eyes Wide Shut is definitely a Christmas movie. All right. So, Eyes Wide Shut, again, the whole movie takes place 3 days around 3 days before Christmas. So there is constant everywhere you go Christmas references, and most importantly, the use of Christmas lights is very important in Stanley Kubrick's vision of the film, because it's supposed to convey a sense of a dreamlike quality that you don't know what aspects of the film are real and what aspects are either dreamy or made up or paranoia from Tom Cruise's character. That is a very essential element to the film, that you don't quite know whether or not there is a real threat against Tom Cruise's character in the movie. Other than that, there is the fact that Tom Cruise learns by the end of the film that he needs to value his wife and his child more, because at the beginning of the film, he's more seducted by the stranger. He's more seducted by what he doesn't know. He's more seducted by the unfamiliar. And by the end of the film, he's now the complete opposite. I want to be with my family. I want to be with my wife. That's a very good, noble message to put in the film.
It is.
And the movie begins with a Christmas party, and the movie ends with Tom and Tom Cruise's character and Nicole Kidman's character shopping for one last Christmas gift for their child. It's very poignant. It counts. I'm telling you, that's that one. If you're with me, if you're with me so far on Die Hard and Batman Returns, you got to put Eyes Wide Shut in there. That's a Christmas movie.
So I can't speak to it. I've actually never seen it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So, yeah. I know it, people always talk about it. But I feel like you might be stretching it a little bit there. So I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're going to have to watch it then.
I'll have to watch it and then comment on it. But I think the key here is how interwoven the holiday is to the narrative. Right.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to do this just for shit, you know, for shit's sake, you know, like,
right.
If we wanted to do that, I could say Rocky IV and Rocky V as a Christmas movie.
Right. Any movie that's set during, yeah, it would count. Yeah. And that's not what you're claiming.
No. Legitimately, I am claiming that these movies are Christmas movies because of how interwoven the Christmas element is in the film.
So the example that I always like to give is, can the movie still happen with the Christmas element removed?
Right. I love that question. You phrase it. And
right. If you remove the Christmas element, do people have that character growth? Do they go on that character journey of like realizing, oh, you know, I've made a mistake. I should value family and, you know, faith and hope and love and, you know, all that jazz that is always tied into Christmas movies. You know, does that happen outside of that? I don't know if it's possible.
So for Eyes Wide Shut, you may be able to say it's not integral to the plot, but it is integral, and I will defend this. I will not give up on this. It is integral to the style of Stanley Kubrick shooting the movie in the film. And I think that counts just as much as being valid to the plot, because that affects how you interpret the movie.
Okay.
I will die on this hill.
You will die. I can see that. I need to watch these movies and really see for myself. You've been doing a lot of thinking about this, haven't you?
I have been, yeah. It's an interesting topic, you know. It's kind of like what films have you never really thought could be considered a Christmas movie? But there's a lot of aspects that lend itself in that it could be considered a Christmas movie.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting, because as I'm thinking about it, I actually can't think of many movies I've watched that would fit that bill specifically. I can't even think of another movie that's set around the holidays that's not explicitly a Christmas movie. You know what I mean?
Another one would, off the top of my head, that a lot of people like to say is one is Lethal Weapon, but I think that might fall. You could make the case. I wouldn't disagree with you, but that's another one that I think it could be more of. It happens to just be Christmas,
right? And that's the key, because that doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
Yeah. Rocky IV and Rocky V, obviously, those, I love pointing those out. For some odd reason, the fight happens on Christmas Day.
That doesn't make it a Christmas movie. No.
But then Rocky gives the passionate speech that turns the Soviet Union against itself, and he ends it with "Merry Christmas."
No, that does not. No, that's just a cash grab. That's trying to cash in on the. No.
That's fine. I'll leave you to that.
Yeah.
But for the three movies I mentioned, Die Hard, Batman Returns, and Eyes Wide Shut, I will defend vigorously.
Your arguments get progressively more abstract, but
well, because I think, because ideally if you're with me on Die Hard and Batman Returns, I think you have to be with me on Eyes Wide Shut.
I think
it's bam, bam, bam. It all fits.
I think Die Hard is the easiest one to swallow. Batman Returns is palatable. Eyes Wide Shut might be a bit of a stretch, but I can see where you're going.
I think if you watch the film, you'll know what I'm talking about. And for those that have watched it, that are watching this, you know what I'm talking about. It's very important to the story.
Okay. I'll definitely have to watch it. But you know what I have been watching? I've been getting on this trend of, I don't know if you've been, so on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have movies that might be considered Christmas movies and, you know, are good Christmas movies. Then you have the opposite end of the spectrum, movies that are just churned out en masse specifically for the holidays. The bad Christmas movies, the Hallmark movies, all these Netflix originals. And you've been seeming to dive into the more abstract end of the spectrum, whereas I have been leaning heavily into the other end of the spectrum. I am really on board with this trend of bad Christmas movies. I always used to scoff at them and like, oh, I don't want to waste my time with those movies. But recently, Jordan and I have been watching a lot of bad Christmas movies, and she actually suggested that I talk about these bad Christmas movies. It's an amazing trend, not because they're good movies. It's quite the opposite. It's fun to watch them and point out all of those bland, tedious, tired tropes that get dragged up every movie, the same thing over and over again. Like, the idea of switching places is so common in bad Christmas movies. Have you ever noticed that? It is such a painfully...
So what, like, places. They switch jobs or they
no,
switch
no, like two,
locations?
No, two people... So there's two movies on Netflix where this girl switches places with a princess that looks like her. Like, for what reason?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's another movie, Christmas in the Heartland, where, again, two girls switch places, like Parent Trap style, but not really, because they're not long-lost twins. They just sort of kind of not really look like each other.
Everybody has bad vision.
Everybody has really bad vision.
I guess you guys are the same person. I don't know.
Exactly. It's just, but it's so funny, you know, when you talk about Christmas movies and you're making all these really amazing arguments for including all of these seemingly non-Christmas movies in the argument of Christmas movies. And then you have all these, you know, Christmas movies that are designed specifically for Christmas and they're so formulaic. You know, they're so, when you break them down, it's like the same beats over and over and over again, right? I think that's why people have such a hard time accepting some of the Christmas movies that you're positing are Christmas movies, because they don't fit those tired and, you know, overplayed tropes, right? Maybe we need to expand our horizons, but I'm siding with you, Rich. I'm siding with you. But I will say, though, give it a shot. It's a lot of fun watching the bad Christmas movies too, because if you enjoy analyzing why non-Christmas movies might be Christmas movies, watching the bad Christmas movies will help your arguments by being able to identify those tropes and seeing how other movies can fit that bill.
That would be a logical argument to get me to watch basic Hallmark movies, but I can't stomach it. I really can't. Like, I remember, so two weeks ago, me and Rachel, we were just going through Netflix, and she found this one on Netflix where this couple works at a radio station. I don't even know what the hell it's called, but like, they work at a radio station and they're co-hosts and they never thought that they should ever date, and then all of a sudden they both get dumped at the same exact time, and
of course
I don't even know what the hell it's called. I made it through 30 minutes and I was just like, I can't do this. It hurts my brain. Don't
get me wrong, I mean, Jordan will tell you that these movies cause me physical pain to watch.
Yeah, so
why infuriate me?
So why even put yourself through it? Like, I can't.
Because it's an exercise in identifying bad writing and in identifying how formulaic and pointless these movies are. And it's just a lot of fun. I if you approach it through the right lens of going into a movie with the express intent to eviscerate it and pull it apart piece by piece.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing,
you have to watch it with the right person.
Yeah,
though.
But like, I don't get any joy. This is something that I think gets confused with people that are film critics or people that are film snobs that I've been accused of being. Yeah. I don't really take pride in dissing a movie. It's just more of I'm angry that I've wasted this time watching this movie.
Wasted 2 hours? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's really what I get at the end of the... If I see a bad film, that's what I feel at the end. It's like, oh, God, I can't believe I wasted 2 hours on that.
It's more watching it for comedic effect than... See, I'm going into it knowing, like, it's going to be bad, and I'm going to have a good time just laughing at how bad it is.
But see, in order for that to happen, there has to be a level of badness that it gets to. So on the flip side, I love, like, The Room, because that movie is so bad, you have to go through and be like, I can't believe people shot this film, and nobody, like, went up to Tommy Wiseau and was like, why are you doing this? Like, so it's got to be that level bad to make it to a point where it's enjoyable.
I think the movie, the bad Christmas movie that you would enjoy then is Christmas in the Heartland. Okay. I watched this movie. You already know from the title, it's going to be really bad. Okay. So it's about a really wealthy 15, 16 year old girl who lives in Vermont. And
how's she wealthy?
Her family's wealthy.
Oh, okay. I thought, like, she went to work at 15.
No.
I'm already a successful businesswoman.
No. No. So this girl and this poor girl both get on the same plane to Oklahoma.
Oh, boy. Oklahoma.
They both have family in Oklahoma. They're both going to visit their grandparents, and they just happen to sit next to each other on this flight, right? But here's the thing. Their grandparents in Oklahoma, both girls, both sets of grandparents, have never seen their granddaughter. So on the plane ride, they decide, why don't we switch places? Which already presents a lot of questions. Like, so you're going to visit family. You made the choice to get on this plane to go visit family half a country away. And at the last second, you're like, never mind.
F it.
I'm going to go see this other person's grandma.
Screw grandma. She sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Forget my grandma. I'm going to go celebrate Christmas with this other girl's grandma. So they get to Oklahoma, and again, they're switched places. And this is the part that got me the most. The wealthy girl is having a barbecue with the poor girl's family. I hate saying that, but that's how the movie is set up. And they bring out ribs. You'll appreciate this, Rich, because you love ribs. And like,
I do love ribs.
And they go, get some pork ribs. And she goes, pork ribs? What are pork ribs? Like, she has no idea what ribs are because she's wealthy. And wealthy people apparently don't eat ribs, even though it's in the name of the food item.
Is that a thing? Do wealthy people not eat ribs?
According to Christmas in the Heartland, they don't.
Did I miss a meeting? Is this something that, like, actually happens?
I don't know. Apparently in Vermont, ribs are not a thing. Go figure. Who knew?
That sucks. Vermont sucks.
Vermont sucks.
You guys suck. You don't have any ribs?
The movie gets progressively more ridiculous.
Okay.
From that point. For instance, there was a line where somebody says you have to grab it like a gator. And the rich girl doesn't know what a gator is. And they say, oh, you know, like an alligator. And she still doesn't know what an alligator is.
Are you mistaking her for just being plain stupid?
Yes, she might just be stupid.
Yeah, she's not rich. Then, she's just stupid.
But then the character gives her the example of a crocodile, and she goes, oh, I get what you mean now. So she doesn't know what an alligator is, but she knows what a crocodile is.
Okay, Rich, well.
You have to watch it. I'm telling you, look, it's painful. It's really bad. But if you go into it with the right mindset of this is not a Christmas movie, but a comedy, and it's a comedy because of how laughably inconsistent and illogical it is, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. I don't know. So I don't know. It's got to transcend, in my opinion. It's got to be like The Room bad in order for me to enjoy it.
It's pretty bad.
Okay. So there you go. That's a couple of weird Christmas movie recommendations that we came up with.
If you want to call it that.
There you go. Watch Eyes Wide Shut and Mike.
Christmas in the Heartland.
Watch Christmas in the Heartland. There you go. That's your Christmas movie recommendations from the Crispy Noodle. Hope you enjoy.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. All right.
Talking about weird things, really weird off the rails things. I think that's a perfect transition into this final segment of the show, Rich. We do it every week. It's time to bring you an odd news story. What do you got for us?
Yeah, it's time to get to our odd news story of the week. This one is quick, but this is a little segment of the odd news that I know you personally enjoy, so I wanted to mention this odd news story.
Okay.
And
where's it from? Where are we going?
Yeah, guess what? We're actually staying in the state. This is in Pennsylvania. We are not traveling. We're
okay.
right
we're
here.
Staying home for the holidays.
That's right. Perfect. Yeah, home for the holidays. So we're going to follow the case of 56-year-old Mark Hiles. He was arrested last Saturday for allegedly selling drugs from a storage unit. What makes this case even weirder is that when he was arrested and booked, they were interrogating him. And when they told him that the charge was going to be that he was selling drugs, he replied that, quote, "I never sold drugs. I gave it away for free."
That doesn't count. I mean, I really admire the fact that he's like trying to find that loophole. But
he's the Robin Hood of drug dealers.
Right, exactly. He's the Robin. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Not at all. Because he's focusing on the wrong part. He's focusing on the selling aspect and not the illegal drug part of it.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Never would I sell drugs.
Oh, no. I'm not doing this for profit. I'm doing this for the good of all mankind, for my fellow humans.
It's Christmas. I'm trying to help my fellow man.
Exactly. That's right. He's like a jolly old Santa Claus. Wait, that's not a white beard he has.
No, no. The beard was black.
Exactly. So I take it the cops didn't agree with that viewpoint.
No. So according to police, Hiles was collared after investigators found him inside his storage unit with another person, 25-year-old Tyler Bartley. According to police, Hiles was actually using the storage unit as his residence. So there you go.
That's sad and weird.
Come on over to my house. And it's this random storage unit.
Yeah, but did he have a toilet?
I guess maybe just the facility's toilet he was using.
Oh, okay, I guess. Wait, when you say a storage, do you mean like a one of those places where you rent like a storage, like a big storage, like garage type thing?
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
He was living in there. Okay. I mean, I've seen shows like that where people do stuff like that, I guess.
That's yeah, I mean, weird. All you need is a cot.
I guess.
I mean, you know.
And nobody noticed this?
They just thought he visited frequently.
He visited frequently for hours on end.
Yeah, he really loves his stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so Bartley confessed. So unfortunately for Hiles, the other guy, Bartley, this 25-year-old, He just flat out gave him up. He didn't do any sort of protecting him. The 25-year-old told cops that he regularly would exchange money for drugs inside the storage unit. When police searched the storage unit, they recovered baggies containing meth, bath salts, and marijuana. So he's got a good collection of drugs here.
Yeah.
When he was taken to the post-arrest interview, that's when Hiles was asked about the regular foot traffic to and from his storage unit. Hiles explained that, quote, "All my friends stop by to see me and that I willingly give away methamphetamine." I'm just a very popular person in the neighborhood and they want to see my storage unit.
He's just giving it away. But again, that's not how that works.
I love the fact that he also just mentions, I just have a lot of friends.
I just have a lot of friends. Wait, he actually said that?
Yeah, that's in the post-arrest interview.
I just have a lot of friends.
I have a lot of friends, and they want to see my storage unit. Mike, if I told you I have a storage unit, don't you want to come see?
I mean, if you told me that, I'd be like, ooh, I got to come see the storage unit.
Yeah, what does he have in there? Who knows? Oh. I have to go see.
Ooh, old furniture and boxes of papers. Ooh. Yeah.
It's like a game show. What could be in there?
Isn't that actually a reality show? Don't people bid on, like, storage units?
Yeah, storage units that don't get paid for.
Like,
yeah,
storage wars or something like that?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Once again, in the complaint, the defendant continually denies that he sold meth for money. But stated that he would willingly provide meth if anybody asked him for free.
It's like, oh, again, he's like more upset that they're accusing him of selling it. He's like, oh, no, yeah. I would never sell it.
No. How dare you?
I'll give it away. That's a different story. That's not a crime. I'm not selling it. I'm just giving it away. I just happened upon it.
Yep.
Giving it to people.
So unfortunately though, yeah, that excuse doesn't fly with cops. He was definitely charged, with selling drugs. He's currently free on a $50,000 bond, but unfortunately selling drugs, in Pennsylvania is a felony. So, he's going to have some issues to deal with. He might not get off.
I do admire the fact that he like keyed in on that word, and he's like, "I'm technically not selling." He was trying. He was going for it.
You can't book me on this. I never sold it.
Right. Exactly. the cops got to be more specific then.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not my fault you're giving me the wrong charge.
Exactly. Right. That's on them, not on him.
So there you go. The Robin Hood of drug dealers there, right here in Pennsylvania.
Right, where in Pennsylvania? Did it say? Just Pennsylvania?
I don't think it did in the story.
Aww.
I was trying to...
That's dumb. I would have liked to know where this all took place. Probably out somewhere in the middle of Pennsylvania, if I had to take a stab.
Altoona. So that's out by Penn State,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe the college kids, they're...
Maybe.
The kid was 25 years old. There you go.
That's why he gave him up. He's like, man, I got my whole life ahead of me.
Yeah, okay, I don't need this.
He's like, I don't need this.
I don't need this storage unit.
No.
There you go. That's the odd news for this week. All right. Well, here it is. Before we wrap it up, time for apocalypse activities. Other than wacky Christmas movies, do you have anything else you want to recommend?
Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time. It's the weekend of Christmas. Everybody go enjoy the holidays with, you know, I don't know. It's a weird Christmas, you know. We're doing the seven fishes, but it's a much smaller seven fishes, you know. So I guess
we're down to five fishes.
Down to five fishes, yeah. Yeah, we're still having all seven, but, instead of having, like, the 20 people over, obviously, we're only having the immediate family, so it's just the seven fishes for us. So it's a little bit different, but, you know, try and make the most of it, you know? Try and find something to bring you a little bit of holiday cheer, whether that's watching a Christmas movie, whether that's, you know, bake yourself some cookies, you know, or, like, try to keep some of those traditions alive, you know, because it won't be this way forever. So, you know, just... make it through this holiday season. God, that got like weirdly, you know, I'm trying to be inspirational here.
Yeah.
You know, but no, that's what we're doing. We're celebrating the holidays as best we can, as close to normal as we can. But that's what we're doing. So
yeah, I'm just going to,
what about you, Rich?
I'm just going to say, just take it easy. Just relax.
Yeah, just relax.
You know, if you got the, you know, some time off from work, absolutely. Just kick back and relax. You've earned it. We've made it through 2020. And hopefully, you know, you just enjoy and relax this Christmas weekend. On that note, though, I think it's time to start wrapping up this episode. Thank you guys for watching our podcast for this week. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to the website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you're following us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, the whole shebang-a-bang, and hopefully you get a kick out of us this Christmas weekend.
The whole shebang-a-bang, that's right. Yeah. You can subscribe to the shebang-a-bang on YouTube, where you get video versions of this podcast. You can also find the audio version on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. You get the latest episode downloaded for free every week. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we've got promos, the best bits of the Crispy Noodle that we call mini noodles. Go ahead. Go to the SoundCloud page and take a listen and take a quick laugh some point this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports entertainment or odd news stories or just wish us a Merry Christmas, you can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Mike Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on the Twitters and let us know what's happening this Christmas weekend. But for right now, we got to wrap this episode up. This has been the Crispy Compact Communique, the weird 2020 version of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. You got anything else? Anything left, Mike?
No, just happy holidays. Everybody have a safe and happy holiday season.
That's right. And from all of us here at the Crispy Noodle, a Merry Christmas and happy holidays. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later. Bye-bye.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
I'm Robert Waters, and this has been the Crispy Noodle 2020.